This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, November 24th, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, the international labour movement is calling for a global law to help eliminate violence against women. One of the largest financial corporations in the world accepts unions in the UK, but fights them in the US. And the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. November 25th is the International Day for Eliminating Violence Towards Women. The labour movement is using the day to push for an international law to help stop the violence. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
UN's International Labour Organization has agreed to put an item about violence and harassment against women and men on the agenda of its 2018 conference. The ILO is the UN agency specialized on matters of work in the world. With approval of its government, employer, and labour union representatives, it produces international laws called conventions. If a country adopts a convention, it becomes part of the nation's legal infrastructure. The ILO's decision to consider a convention on gender-based violence at work comes after a long-running campaign conducted by the International Labour Movement. The campaign is being coordinated by the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC represents national labour centres such as the AFL-CIO in the United States and the Ghana Trades Union Congress. Chidi King is the head of the Equality Department of the ITUC. In a Radio Labour interview, Ms. King was asked if there are particular forms of violence against women and men the ITUC is most concerned about.
Well, I think we're concerned about all forms of violence against women, really, which can take many shapes, whether it's physical abuse, including assault, battery, attempted murder, sexual violence, including rape and sexual assault, you know, verbal abuse, bullying, psychological abuse, intimidation, sexual harassment, stalking, threats of violence. I mean, the list is quite long. And, you know, whilst there's some extreme forms of violence, which we can all easily recognize and say, you know, this is unacceptable, it needs to be stopped. Other seemingly minor forms of intimidation and harassment and coercion sometimes take place over extensive periods of time and can have devastating effects. And we've seen some of these even leading up to acts of suicide. So I think our objective is really zero tolerance on all forms of violence against women in the workplace. Recognizing, of course, that different measures need to be applied according to the severity of the violence that we're talking about. But prevention is what we're aiming about at it, and zero tolerance.
Ms. King was asked if violence against women is decreasing or on the rise.
All the anecdotal evidence that we have suggests that it is on the rise. And this has to do not only with the fact that we have more women than ever in the workforce, today, and therefore, of course, a corresponding increase in that numerical sense. But it's also to do with the fact that the world of work is changing dramatically. When you look at where women are positioned in the workplace, it's usually, you know, not exclusively, but too often in forms of work which are precarious or informal, where there is little or no union organizing. And in fact, sometimes organization by trade unions is actively discouraged through threats and violence. It's where women have little autonomy or voice in the workplace, and therefore are more exposed to forms of violence.
This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
One of the world's largest banking corporations is Santander, with 200,000 employees around the world. In the UK and other countries, it works well with unions who represent those employees. But in the United States, it's a different story. It has been viciously fighting the right of its American workers to even talk about a union. Recently, a delegation of Santander workers from the U.S. visited Britain to talk about their efforts to join the Communications Workers of America. The CWA has been trying to get Santander to accept a neutrality agreement, which would allow the union to talk to workers about unionization. Qualandra Coleman was a Santander worker in Texas.
I worked for Santander Consumer USA for 10 years until February 22nd, 2017 of this year. I was terminated after the neutrality agreement was presented to them on February 21st of this year. So I signed off on that agreement on the 21st of February. I was terminated on the 22nd.
The American Santander workers met with a number of unions in the UK. One of those unions was the Communication Workers Union. John East is a CWA national officer.
I'm the CWA national officer that negotiates with Santander UK. Having had the meeting today with colleagues from Santander in the United States, who are members of the Communication Workers of America, I was staggered to hear of the way workers are treated in the workforce. I can't believe that that kind of thing would happen at a democracy. It certainly isn't the way Santander operates in this country, and I can't believe that Santander allows it to happen anywhere else in the world as well.
Dominic Cook is the National Officer for the Finance Sector for Unite the Union in the UK.
What we've been hearing about how badly treated workers are in the US from Santander is appalling, and I know all our members and our activists across the sector will really want to send a message to our friends and comrades that they are thought of, that we're going to do everything we can to raise their campaign, we're going to send all the support and solidarity we can. It's a very important issue. We need to make sure that people are treated properly in the UK. Our employees, our members are treated well in many organisations only because the union's there. Without the union, it's a very different situation.
The Global Union for Finance and Bank Workers at the world level is UNI. Angelo Di Cristo is head of UNI Finance.
This is a battle. This is a struggle for dignity. And we appreciate a lot the support of CWU for helping us in this campaign to make it possible to recognize a union in the U.S. in Santander. This is a battle of dignity.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 350 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top story section included links to coverage of a call by the International Trade Union Confederation for an ILO convention on gender-based violence, the demand by the global labor movement for an end to the slave trade in Libya, and the state-sponsored harassment of union activists in Cambodia. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. When a Nigerian airline refused to recognize the workers' choice of union, the employees grounded its aircraft last week. American strippers or exotic dancers walked off the job to protest racist and unequal pay rates. Flight attendants were engaged in a dispute over wage rates in French Polynesia. Air France failed in its attempt to have the strike declared illegal and then began threatening to end its service to the French colony. Cambodian garment workers, most of them teenaged women, struck over unpaid wages. Workers in South Africa spent Tuesday at rallies and marches to draw attention to the crisis in the country's education system. Dockers in Papua New Guinea walked off the job when it was announced that a stevedoring contract had gone to a company employing migrant workers. And the Athens metro was shut down for a day as Greek public transport workers protested a decision to privatize the system. Our top working women stories included coverage of union efforts to get thousands of Indian women the payments owed them when an electronics manufacturer shut down without warning, women unionists organizing in Ethiopia, and a global survey of violence against women by the International Federation of Journalists. The health and safety news wire we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the lack of rest time most Japanese doctors have, the effects of stress on Australian first responders, the deaths of 8 workers when an elevator on a construction site failed in India, and the high and rising level of violence directed at Finnish elder care workers. Currently, Labor Start is running 6 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.